Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
All right, family, it's time for us to get into our deep dive for this morning. And in our deep dive, we're going to be connecting with Elder Nyaneti Rogers. He's going to be speaking to us once again on the subject of cultivating long-suffering in this culture that we're used to of instant gratification, all right? And today we want to focus on contentment in the scrolling age. Swipe up, scroll down. Everything we see says we need more and we need it now, right? It's all so urgent and it's all right at your fingertips. But long-suffering invites us into the radical act of contentment. It's not passivity, it's power. Choosing joy in the quote-unquote not yet is one of the most countercultural and Christ-like stances that we can take. And so our elder will be speaking to us about how we can actually find that kind of contentment and what it means in our Christian journey. My elder, good morning. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you so much. Hope you are doing well.
I'm doing all right. Thank you. And how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. We thank God for today.
Amen. Amen. For sure. Now, we're talking about finding contentment in this age of social media and everything right at our fingertips. Before we get into the conversation, please open for us in prayer.
Kindly, let's pray. We thank you, God, because you love us, and thank you because of your providence upon us. As we delve into today's study, we pray that, Lord, you quicken our understanding, that we can hear you speaking to us, even at individual levels. We pray and believe in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Now, my elder, how does constant digital stimulation affect our ability to practice long-suffering?
When you talk of digital stimulation and our long-suffering at times, we live in an age of instant gratification, and even media itself is training us that we need things almost immediately, instantly.
Yeah.
Like if you are booking a van or a bus, like you want the moment you check into the stage, you find it and just move. Mm. Like if you go to the groceries, you want to pick. You know, we've moved into a point where you want to order things. Like if you feel like you want to eat something, you place an order and it comes immediately. Like if you go to a restaurant and you are told, like, if you even an order, you wait for like 10 minutes or 20 minutes for it to be prepared. You seem to be uneasy for that because you want instant delivery. So that's where the digital world has put us. Like if you went to a bank, you want to put your card into that machine, mm-hmm. and you get service immediately. So this is undoing that framework, the mental framework of long suffering. Like we cannot patiently wait. You check into a supermarket. You don't want to queue. Like you don't want to queue if it's approaching the weekend and people maybe are doing shopping. You don't want to queue for long periods. So this is working against long suffering. That is something we learn from the Bible, and it's a culture which any Christian need to cultivate.
Yeah. And now, what does it mean to be content without necessarily becoming complacent? What is the difference between the two?
Becoming contented without being complacent, maybe this may mean finding peace and satisfaction with maybe where you are in life, while pushing yourself to grow and improve. It doesn't really mean that you be contented and then you remain stagnant. Mm-hmm. Becoming contented without being complacent means like you accept where you are, you find peace and satisfaction with where you are, but still you have that room and the provision of pushing yourself to grow and improve. It's all about appreciating your current achievements and blessings. But not really settling or stopping progress. Mm. Maybe to bring it into perspective, let me talk about six things here, which we may think of about practicing it. One, we need to have that gratitude over craving.
Okay.
Like you focus on what you have instead of what you lack. You see, there is that thing we talk of pessimicity over optimicity. Like if it is you have a glass which is filled with water, you can see it as half full, not half empty.
Yeah.
That's being grateful. You mm-hmm. practice gratitude. Like you focus on what you have instead of what you lack. That's being contented, but it doesn't mean you are complacent. You are contented, yes, you have a glass of water, which is half full. So you look for ways of making it full because you are interested with fullness, not scarcity, not emptiness. That's practicing that contentment without being complacent. Number two, it's setting growth-oriented goals. Like you have a clear, meaningful goals that inspire you. You set growth-oriented goals, goals which can graduate you. What you are today maybe will not be what you will become tomorrow. Like what you are today will build into something else tomorrow. Like you avoid goals driven by external validation or comparison. You don't set goals which are maybe motivated with comparison or things maybe which you want to be validated by other people. So this drives motivation without dissatisfaction. Setting goals, setting growth-oriented goals. Number three, you embrace the journey, not the destination. Mm-hmm. You embrace the journey, not just the destination. Like you appreciate learning and the progress steps. Don't rush to arrive because growth is continuous. There is something we covered yesterday mm-hmm. where we said at times you may not see a full-grown thing. But it's good you accept and you appreciate the growth, the gradual growth, which takes time. So you embrace the journey and you move with it. That's accepting and getting satisfaction with what you are today, but still you have a destiny. There is somewhere you're moving to that inspires you. Number four, it's good to be mindful. You practice mindful awareness. Like you regularly check. You regularly check in with yourself. Are you content or you're just avoiding discomfort? Like you adjust your mindset to stay balanced. You are mindful. You are mindful of where you are. Then number five, let's talk of you avoid perfection. That attitude of being perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You don't become a perfectionist. You avoid that attitude of becoming a perfectionist,
mm-hmm.
like you recognize that perfection is into the goal, growth involves setbacks and imperfections, which are okay. Like if you lack something today, you are okay with that because maybe it will be provided tomorrow. Or when you lose it, well, like you lack it completely, you are okay with that. You celebrate what you have. Then lastly, the last point of becoming contented without being complacent, something which you need to practice, is to celebrate effort and values. Like you value efforts and integrity over outcomes alone. Whatever you've done, did you uphold integrity? Did you uphold your Christianity? This keeps you humble and motivated. You must not go beyond the Christian line just to please someone, maybe, or to seek validation from the outworld, which is not going hand in hand with your values, your internal values.
Okay. And how does long suffering help us to develop a stronger sense of purpose?
Sorry?
I was asking how long-suffering helps us to develop a stronger sense of what our purpose is in this world?
The purpose which you've mentioned, to some extent, I can equate it with our destiny. Like as Christians, we are destined. We are destined somewhere because at the end of the day, we have a goal. Here on the earth, we want to grow and take that mindset of Christ. So long-suffering will eventually prepare us to have that mindset of Christ. But before we are taken to heaven, maybe here on earth, because we are told we should have the little heaven on earth. Here on earth, at least we should have something, something that will create that peaceful environment. So long suffering will prepare us not to rush with things. Like if we have not attained things which we need, we can become patient mm-hmm. for that thing maybe to come with the time. Because as we have said, growth is gradual.
Yeah.
And when growth comes gradually, we may not measure the maturity. Maturity may take time. So long suffering, because we say long suffering is a mindset. It's a mind frame. We say it's a mindset. It's an attitude we pick of endurance. Mm-hmm. It's a mindset we pick of patience. It will create a provision in us to move, at least to mature with time. Because if things are not happening, if things are not favoring us today, maybe tomorrow is coming when mm-hmm. things will yeah. favor us, and what we need will also be delivered.
Beautiful, beautiful. I was just wondering as you were speaking, that I wonder if that long suffering helps us to develop a stronger sense of purpose, or if it's the other way around. Knowing our purpose helps us to be long suffering. When we know where we're going, even if it's taking long, like you're saying, we continue to hold on because of knowing that purpose, then that gives us the power to endure. I wonder if those two are, maybe there's a symbiotic relationship between the two, or one feeds the other, I'm not sure, but I was just thinking about that. But what disciplines do you think we can practice to cultivate stillness and satisfaction?
Maybe as I talk about the stillness and what you mentioned there, living a purposeless life is also dangerous.
Right.
Because if you don't have a purpose in life, then what it means, end route will lead to your destination. Mm. So it's good, first of all, we pick a purpose. Like a life of purpose is something we need to embrace. Like we need everyone should have a vision in life. Everyone should have something is dying for. Like if you don't have something to die for, then you are not worthy living.
Hey.
That means you are leading a purposeless life. Yes, it means so. If you have not identified something maybe you can die for, then you are not worthy. You are not worthy living. Then what you said from a Christian perspective, cultivating stillness and satisfaction is deeply tied to a spiritual practice. Maybe that can foster a close relationship with God and inner peace, which is rooted in faith. I can also speak about two things or three here about this cultivating stillness and satisfaction. And maybe if we want this discipline to be cultivated in us, there are things which we cannot miss. One is prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Prayer. You see, prayer is very central in Christianity because it's a way to communicate with God. And through prayer, especially when you talk of contemplative or silent prayer, believers seek stillness and listen for God's presence, cultivating peace and satisfaction beyond circumstances. When we come to prayer, you must not be the one speaking always. At times, believers seek stillness, like you want to listen and hear God's soft voice, God's presence. So prayer is one of the things which can really enable a Christian to cultivate stillness and satisfaction. Another one is meditation on scripture. When you talk of meditation on scripture, this is a traditional Christian practice of slowly reading, reflecting, praying, and contemplating passages of the Bible. You can pick one and you personalize it. You meditate on scripture. You meditate. You know, before you start claiming the blessings in the Bible, because the Bible is a blessing, like if you are sick and you are reading Psalms 103, verse 3, which says, He heals all diseases and He forgives all iniquities. You must have contemplated on that verse. You must have meditated on that scripture for it to be in you. So meditation on scripture is something every Christian should have. It invites the believer into stillness and openness to God's word, which nourishes the soul and cultivates that contentment which we are speaking about.
Yeah.
Another one is Sabbath rest, which is something we cannot run away from. Observing the Sabbath as a day of rest, which is a biblical rhythm, is something that fosters physical and spiritual stillness during the Sabbath hours. You see, we take time. It's a time we cease from labor, and then we focus on God. You focus on the family. You focus on restoration, and this promotes satisfaction and peace. Sabbath rest. Because we practice it weekly, at times we may take it for granted, but it is something that brings in the stillness and satisfaction when it is done well. Another one, which I may mention, is silence and solitude. You know, when we borrow from Christ himself, Jesus often withdrew from people and went to solitary places to pray and find rest. We need to practice this silence and solitude. When you read Mark chapter 1, verse 35, it confirms that. So it's good practicing intentional silence and solitude. It's something that helps believers detach.
Yeah.
It detaches you from the noise of the world and center yourself in God's presence. So it's not bad to move maybe to a mountainous place where people are not moving, not living. You take some time there yourself, maybe with a few individuals. You yourself completely. You remain silent there, and you meditate maybe on the word of God, as we have said. Mm-hmm. Then lastly, let me borrow from Paul, talk of gratitude and contentment.
Right.
Paul has authored a number of books, and he emphasizes on contentment in all circumstances. Like if you read 2 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, he says, godliness with contentment is a great gain. So if you practice that contentment with gratitude, like in everything, say thank you. Because even this verse, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, says, don't be anxious for anything, but in everything, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, gratitude, thanksgiving. So even in prayer, Paul emphasizes this gratitude, thanksgiving. It is something that can bring out the stillness and satisfaction which you have mentioned, because practicing gratitude for God's blessings helps us cultivate satisfaction and joy. Gratitude. The gratitude is the greatest attitude which every Christian should have.
Beautiful. And as you're talking about, you know, solitude and the importance of taking some time out, considering the subject of our conversation is also talking about scrolling, I would assume that also means maybe taking some time away from, you know, social media or just having that digital detox, if you could call it that, just to get some time off and get away from the noise, because the noise is not always just people around you. Sometimes it can also be what you're consuming on your digital devices as well.
In fact, they say that at times we should have digital fasting. We should practice it. Like you set aside some moment, you completely fast from digital platform, digital devices, digital electronic devices. You fast. You fast from it. Like as we fast from food, we can also fast from the digital platforms, because you've mentioned detoxification. It detoxifies our system from these other things maybe which are not so good to us.
Yeah, for sure. And as we close, Elder, how do we protect our mental and spiritual health from the trap of comparison, constantly comparing ourselves to other people?
As we have said before, comparison is a killer.
Yeah.
The moment you start comparing yourself to someone else, in most cases when you compare yourself, you find yourself wanting. There are things maybe which we can look at, like if I can mention, let me mention about six of them, the way we can protect our mental and spiritual health from the comparison trap. One, be aware when you are comparing and stay present. Be aware when you are comparing yourself to others and stay present. Be present. Don't be carried away. Don't be carried away with other people. Some people maybe who could be seen to be ahead of us, they have accumulated maybe it is the financial strength, the financial muscle. Some people inherited from others. You've not maybe inherited from yourself. Remain present. Don't compare yourself and be carried away with those comparison results. So be aware when you are comparing yourself and stay present. Number two, what you have said, limit social media to avoid unrealistic comparisons.
Yeah.
limit social media to avoid unrealistic comparisons.
Yeah.
You know, the moment you go to these social media platforms, in most cases, people post the things which are not realistic.
Mm-hmm.
And then because you consume everything, you start imagining that people are so much ahead of you because what they are posting, maybe you imagine that they are living so. But what they are posting is unrealistic. At times, people even do Photoshop. They do things which are not realistic. So limit social media to avoid unrealistic comparisons. Number three, practice gratitude for your own life and progress. Say thank you for what you have, however little it is. Practice gratitude for your own life and progress. Number four, celebrate your personal growth without measuring against others. Celebrate your personal growth without measuring against others. The greatest competition you can embrace is competition against your own standards.
Mm-hmm.
Just outdo your yesterday standards, and that way you could progress. Even when we speak to young people, we tell them it's good you work against your personal standards. Outdo your previous standards. That's the best competition you can ever do. Lastly, show self compassion.
Mm-hmm.
Show self compassion and kindness to yourself. Be kind to yourself. Don't be so serious to yourself. Show self compassion and kindness to yourself, because if you cannot accept and appreciate yourself, maybe nobody will do that.
Right. Beautiful. Well, thank you so much for coming through, Elder. We'll be wrapping things up tomorrow as we have our last session on the subject. But for today, thank you so much for coming through. Thank you for your time, and stay blessed.
Thank you so much.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.